This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
High school homecoming for Willy Adames, and honestly, good for him on that. That's a guy who definitely, he deserves nice things to be happening to him, especially how rough this season has been at times for him. And it's great to see how, you know, since since June, he's really turned things around. Remember, Dan, he got that day off going into that Colorado series and got a couple home runs in Coors Field, and everyone's thinking, oh, it's just the Coors Field effect. Well, he has not stopped since. And Willy Adames is quietly putting together probably one of his lesser, maybe even his worst offensive season of his career so far. And Dan, he's still going to finish with 25-plus home runs. He's going to be flirting with 30 home runs in what has been a down year for him.
One of the worst offensive seasons for him, but one of the best as far as shortstops for the San Francisco Giants. If you think about it, there's only been now three guys who have ever played the position in the history of the sport, and that being one Richie Realia and obviously Crawford, that have 20 or more home runs. So while it's an off season for Willy Adames, you know, the Giants will take it. This is what they were looking for, with some punch at the shortstop position. And his defense has quietly become much, much more reliable. He is not Crawford. He's not Omar Vizquel, but he's good enough. And I would say he's slightly better than average. In fact, much better than average. And so Willy Adames, after the slow start, has been a plus. And I think that the affection that you referred to out there in Milwaukee, we've seen that here. It's not as though he led them to a World Series, right? It wasn't like a Freddie Freeman return. I mean, to see that, they had a video tribute for him as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this was almost Klay Thompson-esque. And it just goes to show you, I think, what it is that we've seen in a brief moment here with the San Francisco Giants is that there's a serious sort of affection and love affair with this young man.
Yeah, and I think you're starting to see it come along, too. It was tough, obviously, the beginning of the year for him. And yeah, it's you're making a first impression. And he did have a good first impression. He had the walk-off hit in the home opener against the Mariners, which, again, you're thinking at a time when all the vibes were good around this team, that was going to be the start of something special. And then, of course, that's not how his start went. Those first 2 months, it was a grind. And he was open about it. I always remember at the end of April, he did his little media scrum with us after the game, and he was asked straight up, like, how come you struggle in April? And he's like, I don't know. I got a friend who asked me. He asked me all the time, why do you suck in April? And I tell him, I don't know. And he's very aware of it. And the fact that, and that was what made this start, obviously, with his frustrating, was the fact that we knew he had that other level. And it was this matter of, are we going to be patient enough to let him work out through the early season struggles that he goes through every year? And he's definitely done it. And I don't know if he's done enough to truly kind of make everyone feel like the money spent on him was worth it. He, again, I think I said this last week, he might never live up to the $182 million deal that he was given, but that doesn't mean that he still won't be a good Giant. He has been this year, and you know, a couple months ago, you would have listed him as one of the three, four top things that are wrong with this team, and nowadays, he's definitely not in the top five. There's a lot of issues, though, with this Giants team, though, Dan, and last night, again, is just another gut punch last night, and yet it's a team that, again, they got... The theme it feels like this week is let's get off to an early lead and then just let the other team slowly chip away at it and take that lead away and just win the game in humiliating fashion over this team. And oh my God, it's just weeks like this are why I don't like to say the word rock bottom, because there's always a new bottom to find. There's always next week. You never know what could happen with this team. That's part of the sad fun of it.
Yeah, I think we're at a point where you just play out the rest of the season, right? Isn't that where we've arrived? So we answer some questions.
I think we've been there for a while, but yeah.
Some guys coming out of the bullpen. Peguero, is this guy for real? I mean, he's got gas over 100 miles an hour consistently. Like, this is what it's all about. The Pegueros of the world. Matos, I want to say, is out of options for 2025, so this is pretty much it.
I think next year he's out of options. So
it's pretty much, is Matos going to be your right fielder, because you can't continue to yo-yo him, right? Or you're going to have to deal him. So let's get a good sample size and let him play every day out in right field so you can have a much more educated guess as to what it is you want to do with Luis Matos going forward. I think that... You know, there's some bullpen things that they gotta figure out. Unfortunately, Landon Roop, that doesn't look good. He's going back on the IR, and it's just one of those where let's just play it out and figure some things out and look towards next year. And I think everybody sort of arrived at that conclusion. You're not catching the Mets, you're not catching the Reds, and now it's not only catching the Mets, you gotta leapfrog the Cardinals, you gotta leapfrog the Reds. It's just that ship has sailed. And so what I find amazing, Sam, is how the hell did we get here? Like, it was just, weren't we at the all-star break that it was a foregone conclusion? Well, we'll get in as a wild card. Is there a chance of catching the Dodgers?
Mm-hmm. I mean, this team was in first place after Friday night going into Father's Day weekend, 12 games above 500. And then you add Rafi Devers, and I've thought about this a lot too, Dan. Where is the moment it all went wrong? And no, it's definitely not the Rafi Devers trade. Let's get that out of our minds, but... Again, this is something I've said. It's just the team was already starting to leak oil at that time. So in the month of April, Dan, this team was 9 games above 500. They started off the season 19-10. And from the end of... So then they go to San Diego to end that month. They get swept in that quick 2-game set there. By the way, Giants, 3-10 against your San Diego rivals this year. That is just unconscionable. You cannot... I don't care where the Padres are at in the standings. I don't care who is on their team. You cannot lose 10 of 13 games.
Tied for first now.
To the freaking San Diego Padres. That is, I think, probably one of the worst parts of this week is just the blatant realization. It's impossible to deny it, just how far ahead the Padres have gotten over the Giants. Not just this season, Dan, but just organizationally. And so you started seeing that back in at the end of April. And then it was just the wins were obviously not as consistent. The performance was not as consistent. When I look back on it, Dan, when things really started to spiral out of control, I look back at that Twins series when they went to Minnesota. I think it was the second week of May, and then got swept out of the Twin Cities in just brutal fashion. And that just I think started a trend where it was just the Giants were just they weren't so much winning games as much that they were kind of surviving some of these games, and that spiral just. It was a trickle at first. You know, it was the way the season went down. It was slow at first, and then it happened all at once. And that's what you started to see happen in June and July, where the slide just, every time you think they could get a win that would turn things around. Like, I think we saw one of those on Monday night. The Giants beat the Padres 4-3. You had a 2-game winning streak for the first time, and it felt like forever. This team was finally building some momentum. And then they just get obliterated in the next three in San Diego. And then last night happens, and this is what happens when you have a season that's just off the rails. This is what happens when you have a season that just nothing goes right, and you're just spending every day waiting for the axe to fall.
Well, I think it's when you mention the San Diego Padres, I think it's worth noting the comparison between the two. Because when you talk about how organizationally the Padres are now light years, sorry to steal from Mr. Lacob, in front of that of the San Francisco Giants. But what is it that they're doing? Yeah, Tatis is a good player, and Machado is a good player, but they're having okay. Tatis's start to the season was terrible. He's having a mediocre season. You know, it's not as though offensively it's a lineup, and Preller does a hell of a job filling that thing out and getting, you know, Liriano and company. It's a good lineup, but it's more an emphasis on how they play the game. And the same thing holds true with the team that they're currently playing this weekend, that being the Milwaukee Brewers. What did the Padres do? They did not shoot themselves in the foot. They took extra bases. There was a sequence where they had three guys who bunted three times in a row. They put pressure on the defense. It's the little things. And you know what that is? And it's always been to me, Sam, that's managing. And not that all roads go back to Bob Melvin, but in this instance, when you think about an emphasis on defense, an emphasis on being a cerebral baseball player and a smart baseball team that's doing everything else, Milwaukee, like I could be Aaron Boone and fill out my lineup card of Giancarlo Stanton and obviously all those stars with Aaron Judge, and I got the best team that money can buy. But it's the teams like that of Milwaukee and San Diego where there shouldn't be a vast difference. Because it is a team that's putting an emphasis on the fundamentals. So when you look at why are they so much better than that of the San Francisco Giants this year? The answer to me lies with what it is that the culture that's being cultivated by one Bob Melvin.
No, I agree with you there, Dan. A lot of facts there. And again, you look at just what I look at the big differences in the Brewers do this, the Padres do this, the Giants do not do this. It's just the simple act of getting the ball in play. And that is something that the Padres and the Brewers both excel at there. Shout out to Zach behind the glass today, pushing all the buttons. Good well-timed drop there by Zach. You look at the Giants. I mean, the Giants aren't ridiculous when it comes to strikeouts. They're 10th in the league right now in strikeouts, but they have over 1,100 strikeouts. They're 1,108 strikeouts. That is, again, that's just too many. You know, you're in the same group as teams like the Reds, the A's, the Orioles, the Braves. Those are teams that are not having good years. Now, there are some good teams who are striking out a lot. The Tigers are one of them. The Red Sox, another. But you look at the teams that the Giants play this week. The Brewers, 24th in baseball with 1,016 strikeouts. And then, this is just insane, the San Diego Padres are 28th in baseball in strikeouts, 898. They haven't even crossed the 900 threshold yet when it comes to striking out this season. And this is something Buster Posey knows very, very well. The best way to win baseball games is you have to put the ball in play. He knows this because, Dan, what did those championship teams do in 2010, 2012, and 2014? They put the ball in play. That is what winning baseball is. And later in the show, I'd like to talk about just the anger that Giants fans are having for this team, because we've had some doozy of a seasons over the last 8-9 years. And, you know, we've had some very disappointing teams in that time. This year, this team feels like it's suddenly atop the power rankings for what has been the most frustrating Giants team in the last 8 years, since 2017, when it's just been nothing but bad baseball save for the 2021 season. And part of what has been angering me a lot over the years, and it's just getting more and more tiresome, is the strikeouts. It drives me crazy. It's the swinging at the low and away sliders, the taking the fastballs down the middle, the refusal to put the balls in play, the fact that, Dan, oh my God, this team loads the bases. Whenever you do, they do. It's like, well, inning's over. We tried. Maybe next time. It's with this team with the bases loaded and nobody out, it feels like a death sentence because striking out this team is just so damn easy.
Well, strikeouts are, I mean, that has a lot to do with the player, right? And I know that there's the things that you can impart as a coach, but that, I mean, I could tell my players, hey, make contact. but that's something that it's sort of an individual thing. My beef when you bring up the Padres and that series specifically, there was that one time that started with, I want to say Freddie Fermin for the Ferminator from Kansas City, Fermin. He dropped down a bunt. Casey Schmidt throws it away. Fernando Tatis dropped down a bunt because he sees a third baseman is playing out there in left field, essentially, in Casey Schmidt. When's the last time you saw, even forget about Fernando Tatis, I don't know who the equivalent is that of the San Francisco Giants.
They have no equivalent.
Well, how about a Jung-Hoo Lee? Just put pressure on the defense. Get on base. Make something happen. Have the pitcher's attention divided because now suddenly you have a threat to take second base. Suddenly the catcher's got to rush things because you might go. There's none of that. I watched San Diego again. It's a little thing, and maybe a lot of people didn't pay attention to it, but three batters in a row dropped a bunt down the left field line, and one of them was Fernando Tatis. Again, the Giants probably like, yeah, whatever. That's that. In and of itself is something that I think when we talk about the difference between that of a Brewers team and a Padre team, it's the, I will take whatever it is that you're giving me and then I'll make something happen. That's where the molehill starts. And then it grows from there. If you're going to be a good team, that's going to do everything else. If you don't have the ability to hit, you know, have three guys in your lineup, they're going to hit 30 or more home runs. Then it's the other things that, that's the reason for the success of that of the Brewers. Plain and simple. And the same for that of the Padres. Why can't that be implemented for a team like that of the San Francisco Giants, which is built to play that style of baseball?
Yeah, again, that is the fabled small ball, the fabled ground attack, as the Giants used to call it back in the heyday of now 15 years ago, back when this run started, 10 years ago back when it ended. And yeah, I'm right there with you, Dan. It's not just the fact that the Giants aren't playing that kind of ball. It's the fact that other teams are making the Giants look ridiculous while playing that brand of ball. And it's bunting is not that difficult at the big league level. If you're at the big league level, you should know how to bunt. The Giants have guys who should be able to drop bunts. I mean, Fernando Tatis Jr. dropping a bunt. I mean, that is one of their best hitters on the team. And they have the wherewithal to know that they can put that kind of pressure on this team that way, because this is a team that is just, they aren't sound with their fundamentals. I don't know what they're thinking when they go to the plate, but it seems like every time they go to the plate, the plan is just, oh man, I hope I don't screw up. And that's where the pressing comes in. It's, you're talking about a team, you know, the opponents putting pressure on the Giants. And they are doing that. When you do those plays, when you do those three bunts in a row, when you're putting the ball in play, forcing the defense to make a play, as the Brewers did last night, that is putting pressure. But that pales in comparison to the pressure that this team is putting on itself. And when you look at, you know, what I like about the Brewers, what I like about the Padres is those are just teams that know, they know what they need to do to win. They know what, they have an identity. They go out there, we have a plan every day. If we play like this, we will win. In the Giants, it's just like, if we go out and somehow get more runs than the other team, some way, somehow, maybe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We could probably win this game. And I think you saw that last night where when the Giants have the bases loaded, you see this team, it's like, it feels like they tense up because it's who's going to get the big hit this time. And since it's not going to be anyone, is it going to have to be me? Versus in the next inning when William Contreras is up with first and second, first pitch, he pokes one the opposite way. He's not trying to play hero ball. He's just looking for a pitch, has a set approach, goes the other way with it, drives in a run, and shows basically no effort in the process because that's how easy it is for this team. And you see, again, a team like the Padres that knows that they could force other teams to make mistakes. The Brewers, they know they could force other teams to make mistakes. The Giants know that they could force themselves to make mistakes. And that's one of the many, 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 many differences between why the Giants are where they're at and the elite teams in the National League are where they're at.
Yeah, I think they're definitely in their own head, especially when it comes to runners in scoring position. But just getting back to San Diego, and I don't mean to stay on the three bunts in a row, but I just found that like...
It's emblematic of the season. No, you're right.
But, you know, I heard some people from San Diego and players that... Essentially what they were saying is that we don't trust Casey Schmidt. While he's good, he's not Chapman, and we sure as hell don't trust Devers picking it at first base. We'll take our chances that maybe Schmidt's going to short hop Devers, and Devers isn't going to have the ability to dig it out. Sure enough.
You can count on that.
Schmidt threw one down the line, and something they didn't count on is Matos couldn't pick it up either, and that scored a run. And this is what it is that you're doing with the Giants. Like, let's let them beat themselves because this is what this team has a tendency to do. Now, San Diego's not going to say that in the post-game comments, but rest assured.
Oh, we could just see it happening in real time.
If I'm playing the Giants, I'm like, hey, just keep it between the lines. There's a good chance that these guys are going to go three stooges on us. And, you know, it happens with high, high frequency on this Giants baseball team. You know, I have no security in catch. Even watching him catch a routine ball, and I think I mentioned this last week. If I'm the GM, if I have anything to say about it, Elliot Ramos isn't going anywhere. He's too young. He's too talented. And I have three or four more years of team control. He has to get better defensively. But if there's a routine ball to left field, he makes nothing look
nothing routine. No.
Like that one-hand stab he has with it, I'm like, oh. Whereas Yastrzemski was the polar opposite. But now Jung-Hoo Lee obviously gives you that security when there's a fly ball. But anything hit out to left field, I'm like holding my breath when it comes to that young man.
I mean, there's a part of me, again, sometimes out to right field, you're forced to hold your breath. Now, Drew Gilbert, he's done pretty well in right field. Luis Matos, again, kind of back from the dead this week. It feels like the clock is very much ticking on Luis Matos. His doomsday clock is getting closer and closer to midnight. The last 2 days, he's kind of pushed that, you know, minute hand a minute or so further away from midnight there. So, and he's going to get a lot of run this next month. And Matos is a guy, in the brief time that he's been in baseball, the more at-bats he gets, the more consistent at-bats he gets, the better he starts to look. And this next month, this final month of the season, there's 33 games left in this season. He is going to have plenty of opportunity to get lots of at-bats and show that he belongs here because, you know, this is the last year he has options, Dan. And, yeah, time's running out on him, especially with Drew Gilbert on this team now. I don't know what they do with Ramos next year. Maybe they move him over to right field and try something else in left field. Maybe they sign someone or make a trade to bring someone in to play left field. So, you know, nothing gets things done quite like necessity. Hopefully, Luis Matos can use this next month to kind of build off what he's done these next few days, these last few days, and show something positive for this team going into next year. Because again, Dan, this there's no identity this team. There's no plan on how to win games. I mean, you talk about the Padres taking advantage of the Giants' lack of athleticism, the lack of defense, lack of fundamentals. When's the last time it felt like the Giants did something to try and attack a team's weaknesses? It's just, yeah, I can't think of anything. So we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about on this show. Well, we got a lot of stuff to talk about on this show. I don't know how fun it's going to be, but I do have a question, though, for Giants fans. It's just, what about this season has angered you the most? All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. What about this season has angered you the most? We'll talk about that a little bit on the other side as well. Shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Bonte Hill, host of Giants pre- and post-game and Warriors pre- and post-game. He is going to be joining us at 11 o'clock. This team is driving him nuts as well.
Does he not get enough airtime, this young fella?
Oh, no, he hates being on air. That's why I make him come on the show. But yeah, our guy, 6-16. Sorry, got the record mixed up there. 6-16 when Bonte does the pre- and post-game show. Oh. So he was big fired up about the Giants yesterday. Maybe he'll bring some of that energy to the show this morning. So we'll talk about that. Again, what makes you the most angry about this season, Giants fans? Want to hear from you. We take any and all Giants takes on the show. Mitch, I see you. We'll get to you on the other side. This all is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7 The Game.
Dave Fleming on the call for Willie Adames's. Was that his first home run?
Yeah,
The first home run he had of his two last night. Unfortunately, it was all for naught as the Giants fall to the Brewers 5-4 in Milwaukee at American Family Field. It is the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. Sam Lumman here alongside Dan Devone, Zach Green, he is behind the glass, pressing all the buttons, making sure that we are staying on air. And Dan, stop me if you heard this before, but the Giants lost a game last night that was started by a left-handed pitcher. Wow, weird how that seems to keep happening here. I have all the results up here, Dan. Giants are an incredible 9-20. 9-20. When a left-handed starter is on the mound against them.
You like that?
I very much do not like that, Kirk Cousins. I like that about as much.
Kirk Cousins.
I like that about as much as I like Kirk Cousins in the quarterback season 2 doc, which is to say not at all. I find him to be the most boring quarterback on the face of the planet.
More than Jared Goff?
No, I thought Goff, again, I've only seen a couple episodes of the most recent edition of quarterback so far, but it's one of those things like, you know, like I'm leaning forward when Goff is going. I'm leaning forward when Joe Burrow's on the screen. And it's like, all right, let's cut to Kirk Cousins. Like, okay, I'm going to go in the other room and do something else.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of that way too.
Kirk Cousins is background noise to me. He's just the equivalent of...
Why don't we like Kirk Cousins?
He's the equivalent of human mayonnaise. Yeah. There's just nothing interesting about him. I feel like if I was in a room with him for 5 minutes, I would come out of that being like, oh man, that's 5 minutes I'm never getting back in my life. This has nothing to do about him as a quarterback, by the way. I just think he's just a dull human being. Anyway, that's enough Kirk Cousins talk right now, which for some reason is probably still better than Giants talk. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. 888-957-9570 is the number to call. You can also text us that number on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. I want to go out to the lines, though, because we got one of our regulars on hold here. The one, the only, the great Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, man, I'm just going to give you the floor, and I'm going to let you just paint with your words, man. How you doing this morning, my man? You are on the wrap.
Hello, Sam, Dan, and, of course, Zach. Thanks for taking my call. Checks in the mail. It must mean the opposite. Biden and his genial Jesus here. Speaking about Pac-12 quarterbacks, you mentioned Goff. I like Goff. And another guy to watch out for, even though he left Cal, was Fernando Mendoza. I think he'd be a top 15 pick. And along with USC, he didn't get into that playoffs. They have, what, 12 teams now? I think that should cover it. I know I mentioned his name before, Josh Naylor and Amy Suarez, but they're a little up in age, and they both play infield. I know Josh can play left field, so that might be open. He's only like 31 or 29. I'm not sure. But outfield leaves a lot to be desired. The outfield's got to, they'll be on a good team. They'll be no best and third best in most teams.
Well,
a good outfield is
well,
no
Mitch,
production, no home, and there's nobody to set this table.
Yeah. Well, Mitch, I mean, I hear you on the outfield here, but I think we can see over the, since the All-Star break, Jung Hoo Lee quietly hitting 300. Are you feeling better about him being in the outfield than you were earlier in the year?
What's the fellow's name again?
Sorry, Jung Hoo Lee.
Lee, right? Plum Lee. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right. It's my hearing. I'm in this gym here. Nothing's coming out here. I can't work out. Nothing. Father time always wins. Yeah, he's been okay, but like I said, 7 home runs, 47 RBIs. Or he's bad average. I know he got all these analytics, but I'm a home run RBI average guy. Meat and potatoes. That's why I always look when I look at somebody's statistics. It's been pretty disappointing. Luckily, we got Colorado, but I think we'll be finishing with the top 10 and worst records in baseball. And we didn't have, and it's so sad because I thought the hitting would be okay this year, and the pitching looked pretty good. We started pitching, but they're not hitting for them. And Justin Verlander, I think he should announce his time any day, I think.
Well, I think part of it, Mitch, is, and thanks for calling in, man. I really appreciate your call, is there is a part of me that's still kind of surprised that Verlander was on this team. I mean, he was starting to turn it around a little bit after the All-Star break until this rough start in San Diego on Thursday of this week. But that's a guy I saw kind of mentioned. I think Andrew Baggerly wrote about it in one of his pieces for The Athletic this week. Why the Giants didn't just, you know, put Verlander on waivers and let a real team claim him for a postseason run there, because he is a guy that, you know, even in his, you know, late stage of his career, he can still help out a rotation right now, Dan. And but the reason is, simply put, the Giants kind of need him more than anyone else right now, is because, I mean, if he doesn't go, Dan, I mean, it's right now, it's Logan Webb, it's Robbie Ray. You're throwing Carson Wisenhunt out there, who, again, 4 innings last night, gave up 2 runs. I thought he pitched pretty well, all things considered. And then I don't know what you're doing in that situation, because Landon Roop is probably done for the year. Giants announced yesterday they placed him on the 15-day injured list with left knee inflammation, which, Dan, I'm sure you saw when he went down the other night. That looked like an injury you usually see on a football field, as we have actual live football playing on the screens here in our studio. That one looked pretty bad, but yeah, Giants, they need Justin Verlander to provide them innings, and it's unfortunate for him, because I would like to see him get a chance with a team that's in contention and do a little something down the stretch, get a couple more wins under his belt, and then maybe do something in the postseason, but that's just not going to be the case for him.
I'll shout out to Justin Verlander, because regardless of what people think about him, he's been a stand-up guy from beginning to end. I know at the end of the day that doesn't really mean much, but sometimes I think what happens, especially for me, as you get older, you pull for good people in this world. I think Justin Verlander, not knowing a lot about him in terms of his personality, obviously we're aware of how good of a pitcher he is, but I didn't know that he was a stand-up guy like this. He's been in front of his locker through thick and thin, and he's been a high, I think, locker room guy. I just think that's worth throwing out there, man. Good dude all the way around. And, yeah, I think towards the latter part of the season, again, it gets back to run support, which is something that he has not had. I think you're going to see maybe the return of the bullpen games because the Giants just are in desperation mode. And Landon Roop, wouldn't you agree that they were pretty much going to shut him down regardless? I think he was sort of like at that limit. Maybe
not. I don't know if that was a given. I know he's a guy who he was not that bullish on innings limits or anything like that. I don't think that was something that's going to slow him up. By all accounts, I think he's a guy that, yeah, he probably would have finished out the season in the rotation. Maybe some of his, you know, six-inning outings would become five-inning outings just to kind of keep the pitch count down a little bit for him. But, Dan, he was one of those guys that, like, he was one of the reasons why I felt good about this team going into 2026. Because if you're coming in next year at the top three of Webb, Ray, and Roop, you know, like, that is that a World Series top three? Maybe not. But that's a top three that I'm willing to go to battle with. And then you see what you got with Carson Wisenhunt. Maybe he can kind of, you know, force the issue a little bit. But beyond that, yeah, your rotation next year is starting to look like a question mark. And the fact that Roop is not going to be out that long, that is huge for this team going into next year. But no, I don't think there was a plan to shut him down at all.
I think the concern now is not only, I mean, think about where we were in the beginning of the season, and for a good portion of the early part of the campaign where you hung your hat on your starting pitching and your bullpen. Now suddenly, as we near the end of the season, they have become the two weak areas of this team, which is really scary going forward, especially the bullpen, which was the bread and butter of the San Francisco Giants. Not that it's one of the worst, but it's now no longer as reliable. And so you have to address the bullpen over the offseason. You got to go get, you know, you got to go get some starters. It's all about pitching, man. Especially you hit the postseason. It's about.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bullpens. Look at every single team that's ticketed for the second season. You need pitching and you need a lot of it. You need depth. And that's really where the Giants have been. But suddenly now they're just, you know, they're limping to the finish line. And that's some, first and foremost, you got to get that. I think you just go out and maybe you get Tyler Rogers again. Just say, hey, man, you're a free agent. Will you please come back?
Oh, I'd be totally down. I'd totally be down for a Tyler Rogers reunion. There's, I think, one big issue with that, and that is every team in baseball is going to or should be lining up for the services of Tyler Rogers. He's not a closer, but he is probably one of the most reliable eighth inning guys out there in baseball. I am all in for a Tyler Rogers reunion. There are 29 other teams in Major League Baseball, maybe 28. Maybe he just doesn't want to be with the Mets. But there are at least 28, 29 other teams out there in Major League Baseball that are going to be also trying to flirt with Tyler Rogers a little bit this offseason.
And the other thing, getting back to Mitch's call earlier when he was talking about he's a meat and potato guy, I'm right there with him when it comes to the outfield. Usually, one of your corner outfielders has got to give you some home runs and some
pop, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I know Jung-Hoo Lee has been good, and there's certainly a role for a guy at the top of the lineup to set the table, and that's sort of who he is. But you can't have all three guys like that. I mean, you can't be punching Judy with three. You know where the punching Judy originated?
I have not even heard that phrase.
Are you serious?
Why are we punching Judy? That doesn't.
So there's a reference. Zachary, are you familiar with punching Judy? Okay, so there's punching Judy hitters. If you ever hear a guy refer to a hitter, oh, he's punching Judy, means that it's sort of Jung-Hoo Lee. Not a guy that's giving you a lot of meat on the bone. Not a home run RBI guy. It's just someone who goes the other way. Somebody that's just not doing a lot of serious damage. It's punching Judy. And it originates from an English puppet show where they had these two puppets that would hit each other gently with sticks. And somebody made the reference back in the turn of the century of a baseball game, like, yeah, the New York Yankees got a bunch of Punch and Judy hitters. Anyways, there you go. That's your factoid of the day. But you do need somebody. You know who I like that I want to see get some more run? Is that Drew Gilbert. Is this guy, you know, sometimes you look at a guy and you're like, I like the way that dude's wired. I just, nothing more than, other than I know he's a guy from, like, he's a Tennessee, he's a volunteer, he's from the Oregon area. I'm always partial to people on the West Coast, especially the Pacific Northwest.
Well, no, I
Northwest.
Think he's from Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah. That's it. He's a Minnesota guy. Yeah, so.
The big Joe
McCarthy. Yeah, usually good people come out of Minnesota. So
very polite.
There's sometimes you look at a guy and you're like, yeah, there's a twinkle in this dude's eye, man. Let's roll him out there. I mean, that's as far as I've gotten with the guy because I don't know a lot about him, but I mean, when he had his first knock last week, was it a week ago tomorrow, I think, I was like, all right, this dude's got some bat speed. I like his attitude. Let's roll him out there.
Well, he was showing some energy, what, in that Monday night game in San Diego. Did you see him? You know, they get the home runs there, and, you know, they cut to him with a dugout. He's going like, ah, like screaming his guts out in the dugout there. You love the energy that you're seeing from this kid. And, yeah, I want to see more from him, too. Just to see if there's any there with him. It's going to be him and Luis Matos out in right field probably for the rest of the year here. The defense with Gilbert, I like it. I think he plays right field very well. He plays right field in Oracle Park pretty well. I thought, I talked about this on the show when he made his debut, his first night out in right field, I thought he showed a defensive wherewithal out there that you don't usually see from guys who have played right field for the first time at Oracle Park, which was very encouraging to see. The thing with Gilbert, though, the dude needs to hit. And I can't, he's got the hit, he's got the home run, but it's just, the results aren't there at the plate yet. And there's the part of me that says, well, you got to let him get settled in. You got to let him try and get into a groove. There's the other part that's just like, this looks like a guy who might need some more time in the minor leagues. And again, this is where you learn those things. Now, Drew, he is 24 years old. He's got a lot of baseball left ahead of him, so it's okay if he's not arriving right now. Those are going to be the questions that the Giants are going to try to answer here in the final month of the season. Dan, you mentioned, though, the pitching in the bullpen, though.
Drew Gilbert, don't you think that what the rest of the season provides is a perfect opportunity, especially if you're going to trade Camilo Duvall and Tyler Rogers and you're getting prospects and one of them's a right fielder? This is the perfect chance for you to play every single day. I've seen Luis Matos. I know that there's a chance that he could open some eyes and maybe he's part of the future. To me, if the only reason I'm playing Luis Matos is that he becomes trade bait and there's somebody else that says, oh, hey, Luis Matos, yeah, I'm willing to take a roll around that guy. Drew Gilbert, to me, if you're not going to the playoffs, which you're not, and you're just playing out the string, I want to see that dude make his mistakes. I don't care if he takes an offer for the rest of the month. I want to see him get run so that when we go to spring training next year, he has a legitimate shot of locking up that position.
Yeah, I definitely, and I think that's what we will be seeing. But again, I think it's going to be split with Luis Matos because, as you said, Dan, you want to find out what he is. Is he a future of this team or is he a trade chip? And this is where the struggle is going to get a little bit difficult because I don't know what you're – I mean, Ramos is going to be in left field every day the rest of the year. They might try him in right field next year. I'd be curious to see if that ends up happening. If that's the case, I want to see Drew Gilbert get some time in left field as well. Maybe there's some days where ideally you can get Gilbert and Matos in the lineup at the same time. Problem is, though, is that and then you don't have Ramos playing, and the Giants, they want to have Ramos in the lineup every day because they need his bat, for better or for worse. And – this kind of goes into, I think, what makes this season so frustrating is that there's very few opportunities to kind of there's very few opportunities to try and kind of do experiments like this because they still want to win games. These guys, they still have a professional pride. I know wins and losses probably don't mean a whole lot right now, but these guys don't like losing. They're going to keep trying to win baseball games. And so that means Elliot Ramos is going to be in the lineup for the foreseeable future. So it's going to be hard to find time for both those guys to be in there. As a result, you're going to see a platooning between Gilbert and Matos, probably. And I know that's not going to appeal to Giants fans. They're probably screaming at me right now over that. And I agree with them. I would probably rather see Gilbert and Matos manning the corner outfielder spots more often than not at the expense of Elliot Ramos. But that's just not going to happen because Ramos is a locked-in part of this team's future. And also, he's playing for a contract right now. And he's got 4 years of team control left, but he's going into his arbitration years. Mm-hmm. And so he's got to try and get his money too. So it's going to be tough for the Giants to kind of learn everything they need to learn about Drew Gilbert and Luis Matos this last month of the season because of just the realities of you have four guys for three outfielder spots.
What am I missing here? Because I've heard this bantered about. Elliot Ramos wants to play right field, apparently. He feels more comfortable in right field. Somebody needs to explain to me, if he can't play left field at Oracle, which he's had a hard time, who the hell thinks he can transition to right field, which is one of the more difficult right fields in all of Major League Baseball?
Well, he is a natural right fielder. That was the position he originally came up with. If it weren't for Mike Yastrzemski, he probably would have been playing there for the last few years. But that is a fair question.
I get that, but I've seen him in center, and I've seen him in left, and I don't think right field is.
I think it's, again, we've talked about this a lot this year, especially when it comes to Rafi Devers, the comfort aspect. I think it was brought up, with Bryce Terang last night. When guys, they have positions that they just like to play in, it's the old, the comfort aspect of it. When you're comfortable.
Would you be comfortable, though?
If Ramos, for whatever reason, is one of those guys that just feels more at ease when he's in right field versus left field, I'm not going to explain it. Like, I can't explain. I'm not going to try and say, like, oh, Ramos feels that way because XYZ. I'm not in the dude's head. I don't know what makes it. I don't play the game professionally, so I don't know exactly.
No, I mean, you as a fan, he might be comfortable. Are you Sam Lubman,
I
the
see
fan,
what you're getting
are
at.
Are you comfortable with him being in right field?
You know what? I'm accepting of him in the outfield. Okay. I am accepting of the defense there. It's frustrating, but the reason why I would be okay with it is because I think a lot of his issues defensively are correctable. Like, it's not that difficult to get more reps in, especially in spring training, and just make yourself a smarter fielder. So I see room to grow there for Ramos in the outfield with his defense. And, you know, I see no reason why he can't achieve that growth going into next year. So I mean, if he doesn't, yeah, you got bigger issues there, because then it's like you're still at the stage of your career where you're still trying to get better. Like, he is not the guy that he is. Like, he is not the finished product that we expect him to be right now, which is, again, that is okay. He's still 26, 27 years old. He's just entering his prime years. But you need to be getting better and better every year, and that's going to be the next step for him next year going on defense, is show that whatever your issues were on defense this year, show that you corrected them, and then come in the next year a better player.
Yeah, I think you're going to know a lot more about Elliot Ramos, the baseball player, going forward on what it is that he does this offseason. Like, if he takes this serious, like, from day one, he's got to work. And it's not when he comes to spring training. It's the minute the season's over. He has got to work on his defense. And that's what young players who have long careers, or young players that are able to get to the next threshold, they put in the time. Steph Curry, early on, great shooter, but he needed to put on weight. He was getting pushed around. Not a guy that could, you know, hold his own in the paint. And guys work. And if you, you know, or he could take the offseason and go down to Mexico or whatever, or he's got enough money to have fun and then show up in spring training and then say, all right, well, you know, let's get to work. But if he's serious, he knows that he has the athleticism to play in this league. And I think he's been a little bit too reliant on the fact that he can roll out of bed and hit. That's just who he's been. And he's a tremendous athlete. But now he has to, the light has been shown, it's been illuminated on what it is that he can't do, and that is play defense. And it's not about getting to the gap or taking, you know, making sure that you get to the line quick. It's about the fundamentals. It's about the minutiae. It's about the routine. That's what he has to focus on. And you'll know a lot more about him and his seriousness as a baseball player this offseason going into next year.
You know, Dan, there's a song I like. It's called One Thing Leads to Another. It's by the band The Fix.
Sure.
And One thing leads to another. Yeah.
Zachary, yeah. You get a little taste?
Maybe we'll find it as a rejoin next segment. But
Zachary's working on his putting right now. Visualizing sinking a 14-footer.
Thinking about those days on the LIV Tour. But that's one of those things where I do, it's going to be one thing leads to another. And right now we're seeing, I think, in a negative sense, where the struggles on defense, I do wonder how much they do bleed over into the offense with Ramos. But I do believe when you could get him to be a more confident defender, where he's feeling locked in the outfield, no matter what corner it is, there's no second thoughts there. You get more relaxed when you're not making mistakes. That leads to more relaxation at the plate, which leads to better results at the plate, which leads to you feeling like a more confident player, which leads to you playing like a better player. One thing leads to another. Get better at one thing. You can start a domino effect here to make you better. And then if Ramos, if you're producing at the top of the lineup, that makes things easier for the rest of the lineup. Again, I mentioned this last segment. With the Brewers, they know how they're going to win. They don't need to stress anything. They don't need to press for anything because they know, they trust their process. The Giants, meanwhile, again, there's a time at the beginning of the season, Dan, where they're stealing bases left and right. And you're thinking like, oh man, are we a base stealing team now? This is pretty cool. They're not doing that anymore, in part because the lineup production has dried up so much. The Giants can't risk stealing bases and giving up outs and taking potential runs off the bases. And so when one thing goes wrong with this team, it leads to another thing going wrong, which leads to another, which leads to another. And you just have this negative death spiral going on. And on the other side, I really want to get into the anger with this team, because Elliot Ramos had a moment this week that I want to get into. It happened last weekend, but it ended up being a big talking point this week, where he made some comments that were twisted out of context, but I think really shined a light on where Giants fans are at with this team and the anger that they have with this team right now. So we will talk about that a little bit on the other side. Tonight, after the 49ers preseason finale against the Chargers, though, make sure you lock in a 95.7 The Game after the final whistle for overtime with Mark Grandy and Sterling Bennett. They'll have everything you need to know about the Niners preseason finale. What did Trey Lance do against them? Did Brock Purdy even see the field? Did Jake Moody make a field goal? They'll be talking about all that tonight after the final whistle. So lock in to 95.7 The Game as soon as the 49er game is over tonight with Mark Grandy and Sterling Bennett. On the other side, more your calls. 888-957-9570 is the number. Giants fans, what has made this season?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.